as we was reading this song here, this third verse rung in my heart. Pass me not, O mighty Spirit, thou canst make the blind to see. Witnesser of Jesus' merit, speak the word of power to me. Have you ever thought that you were such a terrible, terrible sinner that there was no hope for you? I have. And many of you this morning have. Have you ever feared that you have committed an unpardonable sin? I have. And many of you here this morning have. Have you ever thought that if it were not for that one particular sin that you had committed? Now, your life has been full of sin, and you are sin, and you know that. But there was that one particular sin that gnawed at your heart, and you think, my soul, there's no hope for me. I have. It was a willful sin. It was a sin against known light. But I did it anyway. And if it wasn't for that one sin, then maybe there would still be hope for me. Have you ever feared that you might be like Esau, who have found no repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears? You yourself have cried tears, and you yourself have searched for peace and hope, but you could not find it. I have, and many of you this morning have. It has been said, gospel preaching is just one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. I want to tell you this morning that I have found bread. And I want to tell you this morning where I found that bread and who that bread is. It has also been said that you cannot tell what you do not know any more than you can come back where you haven't been. You have to think about that a minute. But you can't tell what you don't know. I spent 25 years in despair. I have spent 25 years looking for hope. And I found it. How does a man get from despair to hope? How does a man get from utter despair where he does not think there's any hope for him to hope? How can a man find a saving interest in the Lord Jesus Christ? How can a man go from despair to hope? And the question is there any hope for me? My library downstairs in my house, I've got a little study. And in that study, I've got a bookshelf. And on my bookshelf is a witness to what I'm telling you to be true. And what do you mean? Is it the contents that's in the books? No, it's the titles of the books. Let me share with you for just a moment some of the books that I bought years ago looking for peace and hope. A Prop against all despair. And I love the introduction to this book. It's what drawed me. It was intended for the consolation of self-condemned sinners, but more especially for those perishing souls who feared that they had sinned beyond the possibility of pardon. That's why I bought the book. Because I was certain that I had sinned beyond the possibility of pardon. And then at times I simply feared that I had sinned beyond the possibility of pardon. So I looked for help. Another book in my library is The Forgiveness of Sin. And it was an exposition of Psalm 130. And let me read that opening of that psalm to you this morning. See if we can identify with this verse. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. I was looking for the forgiveness of sin. Another book that's on my shelf is entitled this, A Treatise on Comforting Afflicted Consciences. You see, I had an afflicted conscience, and I was looking for a balm to cover that sore of my soul. Another book I had was Sin and Grace. And when I bought that book, my question was my sin so great that it was greater than His grace? Here are a couple books that really showed my confusion. Faith and Its Evidences. Had a work of grace begun in my heart? You see, we had had our religious experiences. We had accepted, I had accepted Jesus as my personal Savior at 9 years old. It was a dramatic experience. I had invited Jesus into my heart. And I had done it numerous times. And some of you here have too. I had raised my hand. I had raised my hand, and I had raised my hand, and I had walked an aisle, and I had walked an aisle, and I had walked an aisle. And I had even testified, and I had been baptized. I had been to the physicians who had no value. I would go looking for faith and evidences, and I would go to the preachers of our day. And you know what they would say? You're all right. You know what they would say? It's the devil. Your conscience is just the devil. You accepted Jesus, didn't you? You believe on Jesus, don't you? Faith and its evidences. Where was it at in my life? And where was it at in my heart? If you will, turn over to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. Not only did I buy books and search the words of preachers, but I also searched the scriptures. And many times I would read passages of scripture that I'd never heard preached on. And I would see a mourning and I'd see a grieving of a sinner that I had never heard preached about. And I could open my Bible, and there's numerous places, Psalm 22, there's so many that I would go to, and I would read, and I would look and say, is that me? That's how I feel. That's who I am. And one of those places is right here in Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. And Lamentation is the book written by Jeremiah, the crying prophet. A lamentation means a passionate expression of sorrow or grief. It is a formal expression of sorrow and mourning, especially in song. Now let us read the experience of a sinner. Let us begin in verse 1. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and brought me into darkness, but not light. Surely against me he is turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, He hath set me in dark places, as though that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone, and he hath made my paths crooked. He was with me as he was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and hath pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath been his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones, and he hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from poverty. I forget prosperity. Now read carefully. Verse 18 is the summary of what we have read. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Have you ever felt that? That your strength and your hope is perished from the Lord. You mean that I have no hope? That's what I read as I read verses 1 through 17 and 18. Is this me? How terrible and how desolate this situation is. But I'm so glad that this lamentation does not end here. And this is why I kept returning and kept reading this lamentation. Look with me at verse 21. This I recall, therefore have I hope. Does this mean that there might be hope for me? Look at verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Could there be mercy yet for me? Depths of mercy, can there be? Mercy still reserved for me. Can my God his wrath forbear, the chief of sinners spare? Depths of mercy, can there be? Look at verse 23. His compassions and his mercy, they are new every morning. For those who find mercy, God is not angry with them this morning. For those who find mercy, the salvation is glorious. And every morning when they get up, the Lord's mercy is just as if they had never sinned at all. His mercy is new every morning. How I wanted this to be my hope. And not only that, verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Can my soul say, I will hope in him? No, not for 25 years. And neither could some of you. Why do we not have peace? Why could we not find peace? We see ourselves in this lamentation and many of the other lamentations in the scriptures. We see the hope that's in this lamentation. But why do we not find any peace? I'll show you why. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Let's begin reading in verse 1, and please read carefully with me. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare will be accomplished, that her iniquity will be pardoned. For she will receive of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Is that what it says? Is that not, though, what you have been told? That if you were to take the first step in salvation, that God would take the second step. And if you would do something for God first, then God would do something for you. No wonder we find no hope. I am here this morning to declare an altogether different gospel. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, and she hath received of the Lord double for all her sins. That's our message. Your warfare is accomplished. Your iniquity is pardoned. And you have received already of the Lord's hand double for all your sins. Comfort ye, my people. There's no comforting in doing. So then how can we find comfort in our lamentation? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. And this is the passage that Luke read this morning. Now we're going to look at four verses. We're going to look at four verses of Scripture in Isaiah 53. And then we're going to take them to Lamentation. Look first at, with me at verse 12. And about toward the middle part, please notice it says that he was numbered with the transgressors. He was identified with the transgressors. He was counted as one of the transgressors. And look at verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Look with me at verse 11. He, God the Father, shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And one more verse at verse 10. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now, with those four passages from this text here, let's turn back to Lamentation chapter 3. Verse 1. Let's read our lamentation again. I am the man that has seen the affliction by the rod of his wrath. Do you remember that it pleased the Lord to bruise him? You see, when I was turning, and when we turn to this lamentation, and we see ourselves, and we see our own affliction, and we see our own sorrow, unless the gospel preacher has told us, we do not know that this is Christ dying for me. It is I that felt his affliction in his wrath in my heart. But when I look to Christ and I look to his suffering on the cross, and I look to his word, I see it pleased the Lord to bruise him. So you see, this lamentation is not just about me. It's also about my substitute. Look with me at verse 15. He hath filled me with bitterness. Remember Isaiah? I didn't write the verse down. But surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He hath filled me with bitterness. Surely he hath borne our griefs and our sorrows. My griefs and my sorrows and your griefs and your sorrows found right here in this lamentation is borne by Christ, our substitute. And look with me at verse 13. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. And what is it that the Lord said? He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. It is the Lord God Almighty whose wrath fell on his Son, and the travail of his soul, and he was satisfied. You see, he was numbered with the transgressors. And I am a transgressor. And now when I see and look in this passage, I can still see me. But more than anything, now I can see him. Now I see my substitute. I see my substitute. This I will recall in my mind. Therefore have I hope. Amen.